good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, big election news. Joseph Crowley of New York, seen as a possible Democratic House Speaker, was defeated by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a former campaign organizer for Bernie Sanders, a Social Democrat.
That's right. What we see here is a furtherance of the fight between the moderate Democrats and the more left Democrats. Now, this is interesting because one of the guys who put a lot of money and a lot of time into this was Gareth Rhodes. He was a Cuomoite, and he goes down. Not by that much, but he does go down. And in the 19th district, Delgado, who has a stellar record, Harvard, you name it, and a guy who has roots in the community, both Schenectady and his wife from Woodstock, and has a tremendous reputation. However, he, I think, is going to be somewhat problematic in that he's had hip-hop in his background and he's done all of that. The question is, are people ready for it? And if they are, he could do well against Faso. I think Faso's probably pretty happy about this because he gets to have an opponent who is to the left of the Democratic Party, and it is a district which, as we all know, is both purple and sort of centrist. So it'll be a hard-fought fight. Delgado is brilliant. We had him on our air, we know. Faso is articulate, we know about that, and we'll go forward. Now, up in the North Country, we had another election.
Yes, we did. That's Tedra Cobb now, who will face Elise Stefanik.
That's right. She's making it clear that the loss of health care and benefits for some of her constituents is what she's going to be running on. That district has never been seen as quite the toss-up that the 19th has, and it'll be fascinating to watch if she can make inroads up there. Let's remember that at least one Democrat in the past has been elected to that congressional seat, but has always been what we call a blue dog Democrat. If, in fact, we're going to see a candidacy based on progressive values, one can only guess whether that will result in a Democratic hold on that seat. So both of these races are now going to be full throttle, and we'll see what happens.
A deeply divided U.S. Supreme Court, Alan, upheld President Trump's immigration travel ban against predominantly Muslim countries as a legitimate exercise of the executive branch authority. Again, a 5-4 vote. The court's conservatives said the president's statutory power over immigration was not undermined by his history of incendiary statements about the dangers he said Muslims pose to Americans.
Well, you know, David, Mitch McConnell must be a very happy man this morning because by denying Barack Obama the Supreme Court appointment, which he certainly should have had, he had less time left to do it in, they got themselves a fifth Republican on the court. You know, I have had many fights with people who don't like what I have to say when I say this is the third branch of government, the Democrats versus the Republicans, and it is not a legal court. It is a court which is based on we have to do what Trump tells us to do. And that is what is happening now. It is a disgrace to the history of the Supreme Court in this country, but there's not much you can do about it.
From the Supreme Court to a federal judge in California late yesterday, ordering a halt to most family separations at the U.S. border and the reunification of all families that have been separated in the first major rebuke of the Trump administration during this furor over family separations at the border, Alan.
Well, let me just say, when you take somebody like Donald Trump, who comes out and turns on his own heel and says, this isn't right, we shouldn't be doing that, it's not surprising that the courts are going to follow that. And it doesn't seem as nearly as contentious as it once was when Trump was saying, no, we have to do this. Session was saying, no, we have to separate these kids. Don't come over if you don't want that to happen. But now we see everybody from Trump and his wife saying that this is not right. Now, of course, we don't know what that means because there has not been nearly enough to rectify the situation, and it may be more of what we could only call Trump hypocrisy. But right now, it is not surprising to see that decision.
It's looking like now, Alan, according to reports I'm reading, that the Finnish capital of Helsinki is being considered as a location for a summit between Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Another meeting?
Fascinating. We're all waiting for the Mueller report. We do know that from the very beginning, Trump had nothing but good things to say about Putin. Now we know that there were meetings with Russians that were denied, and we now know are happening. We know that Mueller is hot on the trail of that. Now, the question that a lot of people will be asking, is Trump so indebted to these Russians over this who could, if in fact something really bad had happened, in terms of this campaign and the Russian participation, and if Trump knew about it. Now we see Trump talking about a summit meeting with Putin. Boy, one's antenna really go up over this.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thanks, Alan.